You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
What a great way to continue our time of worship as we dive into Proverbs chapter 4. If you'll turn there in your Bibles, I just want to applaud you for being here at the early service. We lost an hour of sleep because of the time change, plus it's spring break, and I want you to give yourselves a big hand for being here this morning. This is a major moment. So grateful for each one of you, and we want to welcome our digital family. So thankful that you have joined us online, and we're looking forward to getting to know you as we continue to walk together. Do want to thank Pastor Greg. What a joy it is to be able to stand in his pulpit, to be able to preach the Word of God this morning, and just so enjoy getting to walk with him and serve with him and to be the new executive pastor after Dr. David Self served as executive pastor 26 years and still teaches his life Bible study here. And just to have such godly men investing in my life, it's just such an honor and such a joy. And one of those godly men is Dr. John Bisogno. Throughout my early years of ministry, I would just lean into Brother John, and he spoke into my life. I read his books, would listen to his preaching, and I was at Champion Forest for almost 14 years. And about 14 years ago, one of the campaigns we launched, we had Brother John come lead it. So I got to spend a lot of time with Brother John and to really get to know him on a deeper level, and he really invested in my life. And I want you to know, church family, how much it means to us for our family to be so blessed by you, to be part of the Houston's First Baptist family. And I want you to see a picture of my family because we are family-oriented as a church and we love family. And I want you to know my family. This is my wife, Tanya, and she and I just celebrated on January 5th, 31 years of marriage. Very grateful for Tanya. And then you'll see next to me is my daughter, Tori. She's a first grade teacher in the Spring Klein area. Then my son, Austin, his wife, Katie. Katie teaches first grade. Then my son, Austin, is with the Atlanta Falcons, and he'll actually be with us in the 11 o'clock service. So we're looking forward to that. So grateful for this moment to get to preach God's word. I want to take you to the opening of a book called Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar. What's so fascinating about the opening of the book, he talks about John Bisogno. And when John was at his future father-in-law's home, Dr. Beck, to spend time with his future wife, Aldine. And Dr. Beck and John went out on the front porch, and of course, with Dr. Beck being a seasoned minister, they began to talk about ministry as John was preparing to go into a life of ministry. And Dr. Beck began to just invest words of wisdom into John to prepare him for the future. And he said, John, as you get ready to enter ministry, I want to give you some advice. Stay true to Jesus. Make sure that you keep your heart close to Jesus every day. And then here's what he said. It's a long way from here to where you're going to go. And Satan is in no hurry to get you. Which brings me to our first statement in the listening guide. Satan has an agenda. Our culture has a current, and our flesh has an appetite. I so agree with Warren Wiersbe when he talks about the Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life is a battleground. Why is that? Because we have three enemies. Satan and his agenda. We have the world in its current, and our flesh has an appetite. So let's have an experiment this morning. Let's take away one of the three. And let's say that the world no longer has a current. You still have to combat Satan's agenda and your flesh's appetite. Well, let's take away two of the three. Let's take away Satan and the world's current. What do you combat now? Your fleshly appetites. So we're in a battle. Even when you come to faith in Jesus Christ and experience that divine transaction of being born again, born from above, the moment you become a child of God, you're adopted into God's forever family. You're filled by the Spirit of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is a divine transaction. However, you're placed on a path of sanctification. spiritual growth and maturity and development, where you're building spiritual muscle and spiritual fortitude, and you're growing your faith in a fallen world. And you retain this old sin nature, this old flesh, and we have to learn how to combat the enemy, the world, and our flesh. And we won't disrobe of this flesh until we get to glory. But praise God, one day we're going to receive a glorified body. And how many of you are excited about that? That's going to be a great day. But until then, we have to learn how to walk in victory. Proverbs chapter 4. What I want to do this morning is give us some essentials to walking in victory. Essentials to walking in victory. I want to ask you to write the first one down in your notes. Pay attention to what gets your attention. Pay attention to what gets your attention. Now, I want you to think about all the things right now that's vying for your attention. I want you to think about all the things in life and culture that are clamoring for your attention. Now, look with me at verse 20, Proverbs chapter 4. My son, pay attention to my words. And you can just see Solomon in this father mode, dispensing wisdom. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. Notice this, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. So we're going to pay attention to what gets our attention. And what Solomon is doing here, he's going to take the human anatomy and he's going to allow us to comprehend how to walk in victory as we look at each of these items. First of all, he's talking about the ears, what you listen to. And what I want to talk to you about is the ear gate, what has access to your mind, how you're gaining information, how you're retrieving information, what is influencing your mind through the ear gate. Thus, pay attention to what gets your attention. And here Solomon is encouraging us to lean into wisdom of God. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. And I love the promise in verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. I've so enjoyed Ben Stewart's new book. Ben's a friend of Houston's First, and Pastor Greg had mentored Ben Stewart, now the pastor of Passion City, D.C. His new book, Rest in War, is fantastic. I listened to it, the whole thing, first. Now I'm reading it so I can take notes as I read it. And I want to give you a wonderful quote from his book that fits where we are in our message. Here it is. The devil understands this basic concept. What you think about, you will care about. And what you care about, you will chase. Isn't that a good word? We need God's wisdom to really discern what we should pay attention to. And we need to start paying attention to what gets our attention. Because here's the bottom line. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Clear your ears. James says in James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let me teach you a wonderful principle. You ready? Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. Let's walk in wisdom. How? Quick, slow, slow. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. I've heard it said many times, God's given us two ears and one mouth. Quick, slow, slow. Quick, slow, slow. And then gather wisdom by growing in God's word. We want to be people of wisdom. And we want to feed on God's word. So we want to grow in God's word. I love the statement last week. And every Sunday morning, I love taking notes as Pastor Greg preaches. And here in my note card here, my sermon notes, I love what he says here. Get wisdom in your life before you need wisdom. How do we do that? By reading and feeding on God's word. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 119:11. I have treasured your word in my heart. One translation says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So is God's word close to your heart? Do you treasure God's word? Are you reading and feeding on God's word? Is the Bible your go-to book? Or is Google your go-to? Here's essential number two. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I want you to look with me now in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart. Look with me at verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. One translation says, it is the wellspring of life. Now you think about just physically in your anatomy, how important your heart is. When your heart stops beating, what happens? You're going to go down really fast. The heart is a vital organ. And so it is in our spiritual journey. God's word is teaching us to guard our heart. Why? It is the wellspring of life. Last Sunday in Pastor Greg's message, he was preaching on Proverbs chapter 3, and I love it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, the heart symbolizes one's innermost being. I love you with all my heart. Hey, put your heart into it. Be all in. It speaks of your innermost being. When we say trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior and invite him into your heart, it means to let him have full reign in your life. Love him with all your heart. And if the heart remains pure, the rest of the body will stay on course. I love how Warren Wiersbe packaged this. I thought it was so well done. I want to share it with you. If we pollute that wellspring, the infection will spread. Before long, hidden appetites will become open sins and public shame. And the Bible warns us to avoid a double heart, a hard heart, a proud heart, an unbelieving heart, a cold heart, and an unclean heart. And that's why David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. So let me ask you a personal question. What has access to your heart right now? What has access to your heart? And what is that access doing to you? What is infiltrating your innermost being? And what access have you granted? The Bible says, guard your heart. Number three, we move now from the ear gate to the heart to the lips. I thought I'd use a good rodeo term here since we're in the Houston rodeo season. And I do have a pair of boots, I want you to know. And they look brand new because I wear them one day a year, the day I go to the rodeo. And one day I had to go buy a pair of jeans that would actually fit over the boots. Lasso your lips. One of my favorite events at the rodeo is definitely when the little kids get on the sheep and hold on tight and run, and that thing tries to buck them off. That's got to be the cutest thing you'll ever see. My second favorite event is bull riding. I just think, wow, I live vicariously through those crazy guys. I'm like, that is so cool. I would love to do that and not get hurt. And then the third event is the team roping. It's just amazing how those guys can just rope so quickly and so accurately. Well, what if we learned to lasso our lips? Would that help you in your life? Have you ever said something you wish you could retrieve? Have you ever said something through a text or email you wish you could take back? Now let's look at God's word. Verse 24. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. You see, in Proverbs, the mouth reflects your character. Speaking dishonestly and speaking deviously is what that which twists, distorts, perverts, or misrepresents what is true. Jesus said in Luke 6, 45, a good person produces good fruit out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. If you want to know a person's heart condition, listen to their words. Because their words will reveal the heart. Another way to say it, what is in the well of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. Ephesians 4:29 in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. You remember the war phrase? Loose lips sink ships. Here's our next essential. Guide your eyes. Guide your eyes. Now, I want the men to really lean in on this one. I'm going to preach to you, and we're going to let the ladies overhear it. Okay? You say, well, Pastor Stephen, why are you going to address the men right here? Here's why. Men are visually stimulated. Men are visually moved. When you go to the mall, you'll see a Victoria's Secret. Why is that? Men are moved by sight. I've been to the mall with Tanya many times, and I have yet to find Victor's Secret. Guide your eyes. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. So what I want to do is give you a map. Use it as an acrostic, M-A-P, a map for walking in victory. Let me give it to you. First of all, the M, monitor media input. Monitor media input. Now, when I was growing up in Castle Village in Alexandria, Louisiana, in a gingerbread house, we had a little small red TV that had this amazing black and white picture with two rabbit ears, antennas. We had no satellite dish, there was no cable, just two rabbit ears. And we figured out that if you would have somebody go adjust the rabbit ears, the picture would get better, but when they let go of it, it would go back to fuzzy. You say, stay up there. Remember that? No, right there, don't move. They let go, it goes fuzzy. Go back. So we discovered that if you'll get some aluminum foil, you can wrap it and put it around the antenna on either side, and it makes the picture crisp, and that is the introduction to high-definition television. So how many of you remember those days? And I mean, you'd be watching television on your three channels. You're like, let's see what else is on. And you had to get up out of your seat and walk all the way to the television and reach down and turn the knob. It was so stressful. Then you'd have to get all the way back up and go back to your seat. And then to go fuzzy again, you had to get somebody to go adjust it. You remember those days? Now, we have this. It's called a smartphone. And I've got my big clock on because I'm very time conscious when I'm preaching. Aren't you glad? Amen. You shouldn't, don't say amen right there. That was not an amen moment. You think about what you have access to now on this smartphone. You got your Netflix, your Hulu, your Amazon Prime, Apple TV, anything you could ever want access to, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, it's all in the palm of your hand. In fact, it's probably in your pocket right now, or it's in your purse. I want you to think about the access you now have for input. And to walk in wisdom, we must monitor media input. Why is that? Because when you put garbage in, you get garbage out. And then avoid slippery slopes. Monitor any media input and then avoid slippery slopes. Now, I've read this and heard this many times, and I've actually shared this, that you're most susceptible to sin when you're halt, H-A-L-T, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's when you're most susceptible to sin. Snickers commercials pulled into that, and they call it when you're hangry. You're hungry, which makes you angry, you're hangry. You're most susceptible to sin when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And then James unpacks this predictable process of sin in James 1, 13 through 15. I don't have time to read it, but I want to give you just the concepts. You may want to write these down. First of all, you idolize something. Something gets your attention and you begin to idolize it. Then you rationalize, you know what? I deserve that. That would make me feel better. That would make my pain go away. That would help me escape from reality. You began to rationalize. And then you strategize. I wonder how I can acquire that. I wonder how I can secure that. I wonder how I can go there. I wonder how I can view that. You begin to strategize. And then you capitalize. You set the hook. You open the window. You view it. You make the conversation happen. You go there. You walk there. You do that. You embrace that opportunity and you capitalize. And then conviction overwhelms you. You knew you shouldn't have done it, but you gave in. And now you agonize in pain. When Tori and Austin were younger, we spent hours watching Disney movies. Which one would you like for me to quote for you? One of our favorites was called A Bug's Life. Now, we've only watched it probably 97 times. We haven't even broken 100 yet. Around 97 times. Here's my favorite clip that really unfolds James 1, 13 through 15. Watch this.
No, Harry, no! Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
There it is, James 1, 13 through 15. As Steve Farrar said so well in his book, Finishing Strong, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Here's the P in our map. Monitor media input, avoid slippery slopes, and then practice bouncing eyes. Practice bouncing eyes. You see why I'm talking to the men in the house? Practice bouncing eyes. I love how Pastor Malcolm Marshall, who's preaching this message right now at our Siena campus, and we were processing this with our preaching team, and he said, you know, Pastor Trammell, what I call it is the floor ceiling ministry. That when you're practicing bouncing eyes, you're going to look at the floor of the ceiling, because you want to stay away from temptation. So it's the floor ceiling ministry. Isn't that good? Here's how Job embraced it in Job 31:1. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. Whenever Austin was playing football at Klein, and then Tori before that had cheered for Klein Sports, I had the privilege of being the chaplain of the football team, which was a lot of fun. 6A football, nothing like Friday Night Lights in Texas. Amen. And I had the privilege of speaking to the team every game day for 40 minutes with the coaches in the room. And I had shared with the team about this concept of walking in moral purity, and that in order to do that, you must practice bouncing eyes and make sure your eyes bounce off of anything that dishonors God or that leads you into temptation. And so I gave him some examples of practicing bouncing eyes. And I said, now for some of you, if you're walking through the mall, you're going to be doing this bounce, 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 bounce. And people are going to be like, what's wrong with that person? You're practicing bouncing eyes because you're embracing moral purity while living in a dirty world. I had shared that and wondered, did that really make an impact? They were out on the football field sometime after that and having practice, and the coaches invited a special trainer to come in to work with the team. And that particular trainer, who was a specialist to come work with the team, had with him his girlfriend, who happened to be a fitness model. And she decided she was going to run stadiums while they practice on the field. And one of the players noticed one of the coaches looking up the stadium area. And the coach kept looking up there and kept looking up there. And that player finally went up to the coach and he confronted him. He said, coach, you better practice bouncing eyes. Billy Graham said, the first look is natural. The second look is sin. Whatever you feed grows. And whatever you starve dies. And then finally, if we're going to walk in victory, Focus your feet. Focus your feet. Notice what God's word says. Now we're in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. I love this. Carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. And that's a key phrase in the language of the Old Testament. It means to be grounded and rooted and stable and secure, like an oak tree planted by streams of water. There's a stability. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. What is God's word saying? Guard what you say, what you see, and what you do. That your conversation and your conduct matter. Proverbs 4, 11 and 12. I am teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on the straight path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Another quote from Ben Stewart's book. There's still a part of you that longs for what Jesus came to destroy. There's the battle again. That your feet are going to always be tempted to go in the direction that will dishonor God. And the way the enemy works, he doesn't try to get you to move 5 feet now. He just wants you to move a millimeter today, and then maybe an inch tomorrow, and then maybe a millimeter tomorrow, and then an inch. And then before you know it, you have drifted far from God. And that's why it's so vital that we focus our feet. And James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, which I highly recommend to you, a tremendous book on how to build meaningful habits that become atomic habits. And he gives us the formula here. He says, and you see this in life, that you receive a cue or something triggers something in you to pursue, and you have this craving. Now, for me, it's when I open the freezer and that bluebell is saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's my cue. And it triggers something in me that now I have this craving. And I begin to dream about what it could be like. What if? And I have the same experience when I go to Papacito's. And that's our date day that Tanya and I love. You go to Papacito's. And I just love it because I'm dreaming that my cue is when you walk in, you have this smell and you start dreaming about. Well, you know the scripture verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord queso. If you know so, then you queso. Let the redeemed of the Lord queso. And that cue gives you this craving, and then it leads to a response. You partake of it, and then you get this reward like, oh, that was so wonderful. That was incredible. Now you have positive experiences, then you have negative. So this is true when you're embracing godliness. There's a rhythm to it. There is a habit loop to it, even positive disciplines, but it's also true in negative disciplines that cause you to drift from God. So I love how James Clear unpacks this concept, how to create a good habit. Let me give these to you. Make it obvious. Make it obvious. Make it attractive. Make it easy. And make it satisfying. Now, scientists can track the precise moment a craving occurs by measuring a neurotransmitter called dopamine. In fact, your smartphone is a dopamine dispenser. That's why you're addicted to it. That's why we look at it. It gives you a dopamine high. It gives you that chemical reaction like, wow, that just gave me a boost. It's literally an addictive loop in your life. Well, this dopamine is what motivates us to go have another experience because it gave you that chemical high, that pleasure in your mind. Now, God gave dopamine to the human body as a gift, and dopamine is used in your body in many wonderful ways that glorifies God. Even when we were worshiping the Lord, you had that dopamine dispensing like, wow, God, you're so amazing and mighty. And then during the baptism, just that dopamine dispensing in your mind like, wow, God, that is so right and so honorable, and you have this high that God allows you to experience. Now, creating this good habit, it's called habit stacking. Here's an example. So my morning starts the night before when I lay out my clothes to work out. I lay my clothes out, I hang them up downstairs, have everything ready for my quiet time, have coffee ready and my Kodiak muffin, hallelujah, that every morning, everything's ready and set. So I do that the night before so that when I wake up in the morning and I don't need an alarm clock, I'm a morning person and I rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. I love the mornings. Some of you like to ease into the morning. I like to just step into it. And I have my routine. It's called habit stacking. It started the night before. So when I wake up, I'm already in rhythm. I don't have to make any decision about how I'm going to have my morning quiet time. Everything is grooved and ready to go. I know how I'm going to go have my daily quiet time. It's already mapped out. And then after my time alone with the Lord, I go work out. And then I'm at the office before 8 every morning. That's a good routine. So I do Bluebell at night and barbells in the morning. How to create a good habit. Make it obvious. Make it attractive, easy, and satisfying. So if you're trying to get fit, don't make it difficult to go to your fitness place or make it difficult to embrace that routine. You've got to make it easy and attractive and then satisfying, because what you'll discover is what is rewarded is repeated. Then how to break a bad habit. Make it invisible, unattractive, and difficult. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. On Wednesday morning, I was having my quiet time, and I have a certain routine I embrace, and I'll unpack that one day for you. And part of my routine is reading our churchwide devotional. Pastor Greg wrote Capture the Moment. And on Wednesday morning, March 9th, here was the entry. Pastor Greg said, "You and I were made for much more than just feeding our natural cravings. Self-control is not giving in, and endurance is not giving up. Those who spend their lives giving in will ultimately be those who give up. The more you give in, the easier it is to give up." Here's how Andy Stanley says it. Your decisions determine your direction, which determines your destination. We need self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, to help us to endure our enemies. Satan has an agenda, the world has a current, and our flesh has an appetite. And I've come to announce to you this morning, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I've come to announce to you this morning that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And our God will supply all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And my Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and behold, all things have become new. Now, how did that happen? Because God, who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And just in case you think it's about you and what you can do for God, and if you'll just step up to the plate and start doing better, I'm going to tell you, it's not about you doing better. It's about you coming to the place of brokenness before God and surrendering to the Lordship of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to have full reign in your life. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. If you're going to walk in victory, you must walk in wisdom. So I want us to assess what's going on with our ears, what's going on in our heart, what's going on with our lips, what about our eyes, and now our feet. Can we bring those into submission to the authority of Jesus Christ? You know, when you make Jesus Lord, it means you make Jesus Lord of all. And you fully surrender your life to his lordship and his leadership. Would you pray with me? Father, we yield to you. And Lord, we're desperate for you. As we combat these three enemies, Lord, on a fallen world, broken planet, with so much evil infused in our culture. We want to be holy and pure. Lord, we want to walk with you in integrity and purity and strength. So we come to acknowledge our dependency upon you. And Lord, we're frail. We're broken before you. And we're going to just yield our lives to your control and to your care. And then, Father, we're going to entrust ourselves to you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll live your life in us and through us.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.